The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Jeremiah. It's found on page 829. We read Jeremiah 23, beginning at verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people. And they would have turned them from their evil way, from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? And who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forget my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream. Let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the letter to the Hebrews, page 1292 in your pew Bibles. And we begin reading at chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises when was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Consider the reproach of Christ, greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. We continue at chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, page 1115. And we read Luke 12, beginning at verse 49. Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your epistle lesson for today. In particular, these words from chapter 12 of Hebrews. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is our text. Ever been in one of those, maybe weddings, where everybody is taking pictures? The flash bulb goes off, 100 different times. And when it's all done, what do you see in front of you? A big blue dot. You just can't get rid of it. It sticks with you. Or maybe you've been staring at a computer screen too long and a certain image And then you turn away and it's still there. This not only happens with your sight, it sometimes happens with your hearing as well. There are people who tell me still they can't get the songs from Vacation Bible School out of their head. They just keep going over and over and over. I mention these things because I'm not real content with the translation of the verse I just read it to you. Looking to Jesus sounds kind of like a casual glance or something like that. But the actual Greek word was a lot more powerful. It meant to, if you will, stare intently. Or as one translation puts it, to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Because when you're totally fixed on him, even if you will, when your attention is drawn elsewhere, just like having 1,000 flashbulbs going off in front of you, when it's all over with, he's still there. But that's not how life operates. I have a question where I think everybody will raise their hand. Have you ever said something and then 5 seconds later wished you hadn't said it? Why did those words come out of your mouth? I'll bet you weren't thinking about Jesus and his cross when you uttered them. God, if you will, wants us to be cross-eyed. To hold that cross, as one of our hymns so beautifully puts it, always before our eyes, even when they're closing. For when we are beholding the cross, we think and we act differently than our sinful nature would lead us. And in the book of Hebrews, as we were reading this morning, there are countless examples of Scripture of how faith makes us act differently than the world. I think that greatest example, and we mentioned it also last week, is Abraham. I've asked in Bible study groups occasionally throughout all my ministry, so if God came to you and told you to take your child and to sacrifice him, what would you do? And the answer I get from most people is, I'm not sure I could do that. But what's the difference between Abraham and us? Probably earlier in his life, Abraham couldn't have done that. But increasingly, as his years went by, faith became more and more and more a part of how he saw everything, not just some things. And you know, Isaac meant in some senses more to Abraham than even our own children mean to us. For you see, everything that God had promised to Abraham ultimately was tied to Isaac. If Isaac died, everything God had ever promised to Abraham, how would it be kept? But as the author of Hebrews explains, as Abraham was contemplating what God had asked of him, he thought to himself, well, maybe God will raise him from the dead after I kill him. I'm sure Abraham didn't know all of what God had planned, but this much he knew: God is always faithful. Now, from the world's point of view, was Abraham's decision to sacrifice his son logical? If you think it was logical, raise your hand. No responses on that one. Do you think he made his decision based on feelings? No. But he had made his decision not based on logic, not based on feelings, but based on faith, which often contradicts logic and feelings and reason and what the whole world thinks is right. Faith keeps the cross before our eyes. And when we contemplate that cross, it does a couple of different things to us. First of all, the cross shows us the consequences of our sin. You know, we often forget how painful and hurtful sin is. Words come out of our mouth, as we talked about earlier, sometimes, and we haven't given any thought to how they might cause somebody else pain. When we look at the cross, and we see the agony and the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, we realize how hurtful sin is, how it must be avoided at all costs, that there is no trivialization of it. There's no, oh, this one really isn't that big, because even the smallest sins in the world's eyes are but another nail in the body of our Savior. They all hurt. They all cause pain. And ultimately, they all bring death and judgment. The cross keeps on reminding us of that. But it also tells us something else. It tells us how great the love that God has for us is. As Paul reminds us in the book of Romans, he who did not spare his own son, but graciously gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? The cross tells us about a love that doesn't quit. A love where no sacrifice is too big. A love that comes from an almighty God who doesn't need us, but is willing to sacrifice his own son because we are that precious to him. God loves us completely. And I'm sure when Abraham was contemplating what he was going to do with his son, he couldn't possibly have done what he did without an absolute trust in that love that God had already shown him in the past. It is that love that enables us to do, if you will, crazy things. Not necessarily by the standards of God, but crazy things in the eyes of the world. Crazy things like Abraham, crazy things like Noah building a boat in the middle of a desert. Crazy things like putting your life at risk just to be faithful to your God. crazy things like being willing to be mocked and made fun of, persecuted, because you follow Christ and not the world, looking to Jesus, or maybe better said, fixing your eyes on Jesus. So intently that even when you don't have the Bible open before you, you're not kneeling in prayer. You're busy with just the busyness of everyday life. That image of Christ dying and rising for you is still before your eyes, like those flash bulbs at weddings. Even when they're done flashing, it's still there. God wants us to be cross-eyed at all times, to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.